I would like to start this sermon by thanking the elders for giving me this opportunity to make it up here and preaching this sermon. And I would like to thank God for giving us the truth that we can preach. It is very important that we do follow the truth, because false teaching is very destructive. In fact, throughout the entire New Testament, God warns us to be wary of false teachers and what they teach. And that is what this sermon is going to be about this evening: resisting false teaching. In fact, I've got a story to talk about to show the dangers and destructiveness of false teaching. I have heard the story of a church that originally was a sound church. They only practiced what was scriptural. They followed the will of God to the best of their ability. Little by little, false doctrine crept in. It started in the conversations, then it worked its way to the classes. It was taught and embraced a little at a time. Big, sudden change would have alarmed too many members. Eventually, the false doctrine spread, and the majority of the congregation was taken in. One little step at a time, these souls were led to a false doctrine. False doctrines are obviously transgressions from God's will and sin in the eyes of God. Those who adopted this new doctrine drove away the others who questioned, and the congregation was split apart. There is nothing but destruction sown by false teaching, and we must be very careful not to allow false doctrine to affect this congregation. Let us read the scriptures as we consider these thoughts. Point number one, false teachers sneak in. False teachers will start their campaign of lies slowly, and eventually leading the congregation away from truth and right. If you put a frog in a boiling pot of water, it will jump out. However, if you put it in cool water and then turn up the temperature ever so slowly, the frog will stay in the water even until it dies. The same is true with a false doctrine that seeks to lead congregations astray. If there is a sudden and dramatic change, there will be an outcry. But if the notion is slowly supplied, it will more successfully be received. The story of the young prophet is a good example of this. God left the prophet specific instructions not to eat or go back the way he came. Let us turn to 1 Kings chapter 13, and we'll read verses 1 through 10. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born of the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places, who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar will split apart, and the ashes will be poured out. So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, "Arrest him!" Then his hand, which he stretched out towards him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, "Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me." So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and he came as before. Then the king said to the man of God, "Come home with me, and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward." But the man of God said to the king, "If you were to give me half of your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread, nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the Lord, by the word of the Lord, saying, 'You shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came.' So he went another way, and did not return by the way he came to Bethel." An older prophet told the young prophet that God changed his mind. Even though the older prophet was lying, the younger prophet believed him. Let us continue reading from verses 15 through verse 18. Then he said to him, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, "I cannot return with you, nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread, nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, 'You shall not eat bread, nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came.'" He said to him, "I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, 'Bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water.'" He was lying to him. The young prophet was held accountable for accepting the lie of the older prophet. A lion killed him on his way home. Let us continue the reading from verse 21 and read through verse 24. And he cried out to the man of God and came to from Judah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, and have not kept the commandments which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, 'Eat no bread and drink no water,' your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers." So it was, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him. The prophet, whom he had brought back, when he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. We have a great need to be on guard as good soldiers. Good soldiers train and stand strong, knowing that there are powers against us. There are liars and practitioners of deception. The enemies of God are looking to destroy individual Christians and whole congregations. We must be prepared to stand against the fiery darts of the wicked one. We are instructed to test the spirits. Our test is one of comparison to a set standard. The standard is truth of God's word. John 17:17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." The will of the Father, Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Regardless of who is teaching, all must be tested. if we test that which is being taught, and it is less than, more than, or different than the Word of God, we must reject it. The second point, the truth is our defense. False teachers have been an issue from the beginning of time. As far back as the Garden of Eden, Satan was quoting scriptures or God's word incorrectly. Our brethren in the New Testament times also had to deal with false teachers. The epistle to the church at Galatia was Paul's response to those who were falsely teaching the need for a mix of Old Covenant and Christianity in order to be saved. We typically call these people Judaizing teachers. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. We'll read this. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul spends the whole epistle of Galatians refuting the Judaizing teachers. Judaizers and their false message were a big problem in the early church. The Apostle John lived long enough to see false teaching spread through the church. The book of 1 John was intended on equipping the faithful with enough knowledge to refute the false teaching of Gnosticism. Gnosticism was a popular concept of human reasoning. The Word of God has been given to us as a complete collection, and it is not our right nor our privilege to meddle with it. We must not accept anything other than the proven truth. We must not add to or take away from God's will. Only then will the truth be known. Turn with me to John chapter 8, and we'll read verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Once we know the truth, all other concepts should be recognized and rejected. When we come to this point, we will have a defense against false teachers. The final point, putting this all together. False teachers work in subtle shades and low whispers. Satan's work will never be done as long as the world continues. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Knowing that there is danger, we must prepare. We must pray for wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to them. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. We have to study to get the knowledge. But God will give us the wisdom or understanding to use it properly. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who need to not to be ashamed. Be diligent to approve to yourself. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must read and grow in knowledge. When the CIA or FBI trains agents to detect counterfeit money, they have them study real currency thoroughly. After studying the truth, any errors will be glaring, and a counterfeit bill will be easily spotted. So it is with religion. The best way to defend against false doctrine would be to study the truth and to know it inside and out. When a false doctrine is presented to us, it will stick out, just as a counterfeit bill will stick out to trained agents. We must work the word into our life, living every moment with the purpose and the intent of knowing and doing that which is pleasing to God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. We have to be loaded up with the ammunition to form our defense. We must read and study the word. Let us turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Again, verses 15 and 16. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Anyone can read the word, but it requires more effort to study. When we study the Bible, we have to look at the context that everything is in. Oftentimes, when false teachers make a claim on the Bible, just reading four or five verses above it or below it will refute what they are saying. We must use the word properly. We must use the word that God, the way God intended, and no other way, because no scripture is of private interpretation. We must determine to test all things and hold fast to what is proven good and true. In all of this, we have to hold fast the pattern of sound words. In conclusion, many a church has fallen to false teachers, and no congregation is immune from that possibility. Knowing the constant danger around us, we must put up a wall of defense. Our defense is truth from the knowledge of the Word of God. To have a strong defense, we must build up our knowledge. One area that has been plagued with false teaching is salvation. We must not be led away from the hope of heaven. We must study and know to do the will of God. So, have you obeyed the will of God? Now is the time to begin. In order to be saved, you must first hear the word. You must believe the word. You must repent. You must confess. And you must be baptized. If you have obeyed the gospel, but you have let your guard down, come back to us, and we will pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song Selected.